For members only, Golf Smarter number 216 for February 2, 2K10.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
The 18 biggest mental errors in golf and how to avoid them.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thank you for checking out another Golf Smarter podcast. How are you? Today's show is brought to you by the Golfers Mart at golfsmarter.com. As a member, you get savings you won't find anywhere else, so please check with us before you make a purchase on any of your golf accessories. If you follow our discussions on our Golf Smarter Facebook group, you would know that over the past few weeks, I've been working with a TPI, Titleist Performance Institute, certified physical therapist named Ann Grassel. Mostly I've concentrated on how I stand, sit, walk, and sleep, which I'm learning now are the main causes of most of my lower back pain, especially after a round of golf. Well, last week, Ann and I took the first look at my golf swing and how it affects the pain. Well, according to Ann and the folks at TPI, if you utilize a stack and tilt swing, which apparently I naturally have, you're inviting big issues with your body. Oh, great. Now you tell me. So I'm on a journey to rebuild my swing, among other elements in my life, from the ground up. And I'll continue to post recaps of my weekly sessions with Ann. Plus, she'll be featured as a guest on an upcoming episode of Golf Smarter. Plus, I'm going to produce some videos with her for Golf Smarter TV. I bring this up because by the time you hear this, I will have a new video on Golf Smarter TV of my first round after trying to incorporate some elements of this new swing that I'm working on. Let's just say that I'm at a stage of conscious incompetence. We've talked about that many times on the show, the four stages, and I have a long way to go, which is not a good thing because I've got those few days of golf coming up in Scottsdale for the Waste Management Phoenix Open later this month. I'm going to embarrass myself. Don't show up, please. Anyway, this is an invitation for you to check out the new episode on Golf Smarter TV with my new little video camera. It's at Golf Smarter TV at golfsmarter.com, or, you know, you can go right to YouTube at youtube.com/golfsmarterTV. But right now, our guest is Ed Bradley, who I spoke to via Skype because he's in Glasgow, Scotland. Ed's website is called thesecrettogolfsuccess.com, and he offers a free ebook called The 18 Biggest Mental Errors in Golf and How to Avoid Them. There was a loud buzz on his Skype line from Scotland, so I've done my best to clean up his signal, mostly when I'm talking. But let's give it a shot. Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Ed.
Thanks, Fred. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you. How's the weather over in Glasgow?
Oh, we've got snow, and we have had for a month.
Really?
There's not much golf getting played over here.
I'm really fascinated by your ebook, and just let everyone know from the start, it's a free ebook that you can download from his website at thesecrettogolfsuccess.com. It's called The 18 Biggest Mental Errors in Golf and How to Avoid Them. That's the part that I like, how to avoid them.
That's what's important.
Well, you know, I'd love to go over all 18, but I think we should start at the beginning. Which, from our conversation, you believe that the key to golf, the most important element to start, is the loss of concentration.
Absolutely, yeah. The biggest thing, I think, for me, the biggest realization I had in golf was just how naturally gifted any golfer actually is. When you think about it, you know, making a golf swing is something that, in theory, if you tried to explain it in words, it would be so convoluted and so difficult to describe that you'd think, how can anyone possibly hit that golf ball? But, you know, most golfers can hit the golf ball quite well, and it's not a conscious movement. When you think about, for example, a baseball hitter, they don't actually consciously think about swinging a baseball bat at a baseball. They just react to what's happening. And in golf, golfers play at their best when they simply react to their surroundings. Now,
well, I just find it so interesting that you talk about how it's an unconscious act, and yet there's so much going on in our head, and the ball's just sitting there. You'd think it'd be easy just to walk up and hit it, but we have just so many things going on in our heads.
That's right, and I think that's getting the mental game down to the crux of it. Basically, you want to empty your head of all the clutter, the mental clutter that you have in your head, that certainly most golfers have. And if you can get to your peak performance state every time you play golf, then you'll play nearer your potential more often. If you think back, I mean, as a golfer, or even whatever your sport is, if you think back to when your best performance happened, you know, what were you thinking when you played at your very best? If you think back to that right now, and can you, you know, almost recreate the feelings of that day when you maybe shot your best ever golf score? What you might think is, you know, some people will say, you know, I was very positive, but most people will probably say, you know, my mind was quite quiet.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. That there, in the one time, when I do remember a specific round where I did shoot in the upper 70s, and for me, even to break 80 was a big deal. But I do remember an inner peace, just not even thinking about it, not even concentrating on what's been going on, just stepping up to the ball and being very, very clear. But a level of excitement that I was trying to suppress. Because I didn't want to talk to my playing mates, telling them, you know, hey, I've just parred 8 holes in a row, 9 holes in a row. Oh, my God, I've just parred 11 out of the, you know, last 13 holes. I didn't want to talk about it because I knew it would just change everything.
That's right. And the biggest thing you can do in golf is to be in the moment. And you hear it a lot, and it's almost like a cliche. But, you know, when you're on a good score like that, the more you can keep it going, the more you can just continue to take each shot as it comes, the better you will score and the better you will perform. And that's one of the things that, you know, mind coaches will teach you, is find a way to treat each and every shot the same as any other. And it's all about keeping your mind in the here and now, and not getting ahead of yourself, and not going back to into the past to beat yourself up about the bad shot that you just hit, or, you know, to think about times where you've made a mess of things in the past. And in order to do that, what we do is we teach our clients about neutral thinking, which you might be a little bit surprised to hear that positive thinking, certainly in my opinion, doesn't actually work. And what I mean by that is, if you're telling yourself, I'm going to make this shot, or I'm going to hole this putt, I'm definitely going to hole it. You know, let's say you had a 6-foot putt in front of you, and you say to yourself, this putt's going and I'm definitely going to hole it. That, in your head, you're basically not telling yourself the truth, because you could stand over that putt and hit the best putt, you know, that you can hit. You might think you know the line, and you might have so much confidence. You might have been putting great all day, but over that 6-foot putt, the putt, you know, you can hit the best ever putt. Does that putt definitely drop? And the answer to that is no, it doesn't definitely drop. It may be likely to drop, but it doesn't definitely drop. And your subconscious mind knows that. And when your mind is being told a lie, if it's not given the truth, it tends to get a little bit busy. Because if you ever, you know, you're in a conversation with someone and someone says, it starts telling you something and you think, I don't think that's true, your mind starts getting really quite busy trying to work out, is this true, is this not? Whereas if you're standing over a 6-foot putt and you say to yourself, is this possible that this putt could go in, then the answer to that question is yes, it is possible this putt could drop. So that's, rather, yep.
I was going to say, that's a very subtle distinction.
It is.
Of how you approach it. But, you know, the basis of this program is all about, the you know, that a good mental approach to your game is going to help you lower your scores. But I find that, again, it's a very subtle difference of what you're saying. Plus, I see that when you say, I'm definitely going to make this putt, that you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Exactly. And that we've got something called a neutral cycle of success. And the way that works is, over any shot in the golf course, you can say to yourself, is it possible that I can hold this putt? Or if you're on the tee, is it possible I can hit this fairway? And the answer is always, yes, it is possible. It's maybe, you know, maybe not possible to hit the ball 400 yards, but it's possible to hit the fairway. So if you can ask yourself a good question, like, is it possible I can hit this fairway? You can always answer yes. There's no sort of fake positive thinking. It's, you're being very neutral. You're seeing what's possible. The next thing you do is you say, right, what is my intention? So you ask yourself, what does a good shot look like here? That's a very important question in golf, because if you think about it, if you ask yourself, what does a good shot look like here? What does that bring up in your mind? It brings up an image in your mind, and that image is of a good shot. Now, if you think about the difference between having an image of a good shot in your mind and what we usually do, which is say, right, avoid the trees on the right, or whatever you do, don't hit the ball in the water. Because the subconscious mind doesn't process negatives, the more it hears, don't hit the ball in the water, what it hears is, hit the ball in the water. So what is vitally important on any golf shot is to bring up an image in your mind of a good shot. And just one good shot. And again, this comes back to one of the things I mentioned in the book about indecision. You know, if you've got lots of good shots in your mind, then there's no clarity. The more clear you can get on what shot you want to hit, the better chance you've got of making that shot happen. So going back to the neutral cycle of success, we've got, is it possible that I can hit this fairway? The answer is yes. And then you make your intention. I intend to, you know, make this shot the way, you know, what does a good shot look like? Get that image in your mind. That's what you intend to do. You then take your action, which is making the shot, making the swing. You get your result, which could be good or it could be bad. But the most important thing after that is to deal with it. And the biggest problem with positive thinking is that when you tell yourself you're going to hit a great shot and it doesn't happen, quite often you go into a negative spiral of, you know, self-doubt and retribution and, well, you know, all of a sudden you go from, why didn't I hit that shot the way it was, the way I wanted to hit it? I'm useless, you know, I'm such a bad golfer. And the next thing you're questioning your value on the planet. So being able to maintain this, what we call a neutral cycle of success, where you look at what's possible, then you make your intention, you take your action, you get your result, and then most importantly of all, you deal with that result and you go back to neutral. The next again shot, you ask, is it possible I can get this ball on the green? And if the answer is yes, great. And then you say, what does a good shot look like here? Take your action, get your result, and then deal with the consequences. And if every golfer could do that, throughout every round, they would be in a much better state of mind and a much more resourceful state of mind on every shot, rather than going up and down like a roller coaster, as a result of what them not living up to their positive thinking.
It's interesting because just before Thanksgiving of 2009, we did a program with somebody who said that Tiger Woods has no ego. And it just, in light of what happened, it was interesting that he would say that just before all of the story came out. But what he was actually referring to, because we all know now that he must have a tremendous ego. But what he was referring to is that on the golf course, Tiger has no ego in the sense that he never tries to take a shot that he's not totally confident that he can succeed with.
Yeah.
That any shot that he takes, he knows he can pull off.
That's right.
That he's familiar with everything. He's never going to try to do something that it's like, I'm not so sure if I can do this. So, and that's pretty much what you're talking about on there. And in while we're talking and reviewing, it's like, what chapter do I want to move to next? And it seems like we're moving, I don't know, I can't decide if we want to do chapter 8 about visualizing bad shots or chapter 6 on seeing the obstacles rather than the target. Where would you like to take this?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's look at visualizing bad shots, because that's something that a lot of golfers do. And it's something you can change very easily. And I have just been talking about, you know, that a bit there is when you're on a tee, ask yourself, what does a good shot look like here? It's so simple, but that one question will set you up to succeed rather than set you up to fail. If you can think, if you can imagine that compared to the average golfer where they're saying, you know, what do I not want to do here? The most common question on any golf tee is, where's the trouble? Mm-hmm. Now, you want to know where the trouble is, but that's, you know, once you know, then you take that into account, and then you stand on the tee and you say, right, what does a good shot look like here?
So then I guess the follow-up question after what's the trouble is now, what's my target?
Exactly. Exactly. And the more clarity you've got on your target, the more likely you are to hit that target. And again, a practice routine you can do on the range is, and again, we're jumping all over these chapters here. But,
oh, no, that's okay. That's okay. We're just kind of like teasing people because, again, it's a free ebook. So they can, if they want more information, they can definitely go get it. But let's bounce around. You're fine.
Most golfers, when they go and practice, are, to all intents and purposes, wasting their time. Mm. Now, that's quite a controversial statement. But I think it was the Australian Institute of Sport that did a survey on golf, and that's what they came up with. And when you think about it, you can see their point, because how many golfers go to the range and just stand up and bash balls down the range in a general direction? You know, most golfers do that, or a lot of golfers do that.
Yeah.
And what are they learning from that? Okay, they might be getting a bit of a rhythm. You know, they're maybe grooving their swing, but what they're not doing is learning to hit golf shots to a specific target.
Want to see how far they can hit the ball.
That's right. Now, I'll admit that is good fun at times, but if you want to improve your golf game, then actually practicing as you play, or practicing like you play, is a key to making effective use of your practice time. Like, there should only ever really be two reasons why you're on the practice tee. One is to fix a fault, or to you know, work on a specific technical part of your swing, and that's something you would do with a swing teacher.
Yeah.
And the other thing is to simulate real game conditions, and even better than that, to make practice harder than the real game. And the reason that you want to do that is because when you practice and make it harder than the real game, you set your sights at a certain level, you set your standards at a certain level, and when you actually go to the golf course and the game's easier, then it feels easier, you relax more, and you're much more likely to play better. The idea here is, for example, you might hit drivers, practice hitting drivers to a fairway, an imaginary fairway. You can pick a couple of flags out in the range or whatever, but an imaginary fairway that's only, say, 10 yards wide. And if that's your target, then when you come to the real golf course and the fairway is maybe 20, 25 yards wide, you think, God, there's lots of room here, and you're more likely to swing freer. Another way that some golfers do it, Ernie Els practices with an old, small, persimmon-headed wood on the range, and then when he goes back to hit his big jumbo jumbo-headed, you know, oversized driver, it feels like it's an easy game again. So there's lots of different techniques you can use to make practice harder than the real game.
And why do you refer to Michael Jordan in your book when you're? I'm fascinated because you've already talked about baseball and then Michael Jordan. You're not an American, but you're making reference to American sport.
Well, it's a big audience in America, yeah. But these are the guys. Well, first of all, I would say that the mental game is probably more advanced in America than it is in the UK, and certainly in Scotland.
Really?
I think so. Scotland in particular, the Scottish national sort of psyche is not a great one for sports performance. Our soccer team are the perennial underachievers, and the whole nation expects glorious failure. And generally, that's what we tend to get. You know, if there's a way that we can make a mess of qualifying for the World Cup, you know, we'll beat all the hard teams, and then the easy team at the end will lose. And it's we've got this this sort of national psyche where we expect to lose, and that coming from America, you might think, why would anyone do that?
Yes,
but that is a Scottish trait. So there's not a lot of good Scottish sporting role models to use for especially, you know, especially in golf. And again, the name Colin Montgomery maybe comes to mind there. But I'm digressing a bit here. But Michael Jordan, again, he came out with some brilliant quotes. And I was surprised that the more I sort of learned about Michael Jordan, how switched on he was to the mental game, and you know, some of the things that he said were really quite insightful. And the example you're referring to there about making practice harder than the real game was where he would get two or three of his teammates to mark him really closely in practice before a game, so that when he went out to play for real, it felt like he had lots of space on the court. And again, just another example from a different sport of making practice harder than the real game, and then having that different sort of perspective when you play, that it feels easier.
Oh, that's real interesting. I'm not sure how do you do that for golf, though. I can understand how he does it when he has one-on-one workouts on the basketball court, but how on the range, or where would you suggest that we go out and make practice more difficult than a round of golf? Because generally when you're practicing, you're standing on a flat surface. Maybe you're standing on grass. Maybe you're standing on a mat. And, you know, how do you put yourself in that time frame and that mental space of making it more difficult in your practice? How would you do that?
Okay, well, there's a couple of things. Here's a really quick tip for putting.
Great.
Before you go out to putt, the one thing that so many golfers do is they stand up and think, right, I'll hit some 3 or 4 foot putts before I go out and hold those, and that'll get me practicing my short putts. However, only a bad result can come from that. The reason I say that is when you're standing over a 3 foot putt on the practice ground before you go out to play, and you hit three of them and you hold all three, well, mentally you were expected to hold all three, so you're not actually giving yourself any boost in confidence. You're just doing what you expected. Whereas if you miss one, all of a sudden that makes a real impact on your mental state as you go out, because you've got that in mind that you've just missed this 3 foot putt, and you're thinking, oh god, you know, when I go up to the first short putt of the round, I'll have that in my mind. So
you're not going to walk away going, hey, I made 2 out of 3, I'm all right.
Exactly, that's right. So there's no benefit of finishing off your practice putting by doing that. So rather than putt into the hole on the practice green, put a tee in the ground and take the ball back maybe 2, 2.5, 3 feet and practice putting to the tee, and your ideal, and on a fairly flat surface, and your ideal putt is one that hits the tee and bounces straight back to you. And by putting to the tee from just 2 or 3 feet, you are training your mind and your eye to putt to a very small, specific target. And you'd be amazed when you then go back to putting to a normal golf hole, it feels like it's much bigger. And that, again, is, you know, you get onto the golf course and you've got this, you know, what looks like a bucket that you're putting to now compared to that small tee.
Right.
And again, you know, if you miss the tee once out of the three times, well, it was a golf tee, it probably still would have dropped if it had been a big golf hole. So that way, you know, in putting, you're giving yourself, you're setting yourself up to win when you go out on the golf course because you've got a better mindset. Now, I was going to say, how can you practice your golf and make it harder than the real game? Well, let's say you're out on a practice round and I don't know if you guys do it in America, but you play two balls. If you're just, say, playing on your own, practicing with two balls, what you could do is take the worst of every shot you hit. So say you hit two balls off the tee, one you scream down the middle, the other one you hit into the rough. You've always got to take the worst shot and try and score on your worst ball on every hole. That's one way. On the driving range, I would say aim to hit to very narrow targets with your driver. And a good game you can play is give yourself a target of, start off with 25 yards and say an imaginary target that's 25 yards wide with the driver, and hit 10 balls. And if you can hit 7 out of the 10 between the two flags that are 25 yards wide, that is a success. That's you giving you've got, say, 70% or above. And if you get the 7, move on to the next stage, which is a 20-yard wide target. So again, pick two flags that are about 20 yards wide, and your target there is to try and get 7 out of 10 there. And gradually, if you can do that, you'll go on to a 15-yard wide. And the more, the narrower you get, obviously that is a harder, driving hole than you'll find on certainly most golf courses. But the biggest thing about this is it gives you something to occupy your mind when you're practicing. So rather than just bashing balls for, you know, an hour, you're actually giving yourself challenges, which keeps your interest whilst you're practicing. It also allows you to work on your pre-shot routine. You're treating every shot as if it's of value to you, like it would be on the golf course. Jack Nicklaus, he always says he never hit a shot, even in practice. And I'll butcher this quote, but he says, "I never hit a shot, even in practice, unless I had a very clear, vivid picture of the ball in flight and where, you know, where it was going in the target." Now, that's nothing like what he said, but what he was trying to say was that even in practice, he took the greatest of care over every shot, and he visualized every shot, and he hit to a target. And that's, you know, if that is Jack Nicklaus saying it, there's obviously some value in maybe following some of his advice there.
Yeah, you would think so. That's good advice. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because in the way you describe this, I can not only take full responsibility for this, but I've also seen other people do this out on the practice range before they're about to head out for a round of golf. Say that they've picked a target of, you know, the flag on the range is 125 yards, and they're out hitting their 9-iron or a wedge or something, and they'll hit 5 or 6 shots, and the first 4, they won't even come close. And then on the fifth one, it'll, you know, hit the fringe of the practice, you know, the green where the flag that you're aiming at. And the sixth one is not even close. You know, let's just say it was 5 shots, and on the fifth shot, you finally got it near the pin, and you walk away going, okay, I'm ready now.
Yeah.
You're saying that's a disservice.
Yeah.
You've got to go set in your mind, if you got 5 shots to make, that you're going to make 4 out of those 5.
Yeah, yeah. when you practice, you want to make up games for yourself, you know, give yourself challenges, because confidence, golf is all about confidence. And when you practice and you give yourself specific games, like the game where you're aiming for 7 out of 10 or at least 7 out of 10, you know, on the fairway, you can keep a note of how well you do in that game. And over time, because you're practicing in that way, hopefully you'll see some improvement. And when you've got, you know, solid, real improvement that you can point to and say, you know, 6 months ago or 6 weeks ago, whenever it was, I was getting on average 5 out of 10 at the 25 yard wide fairway, and now I'm getting, you know, 8 out of 10 on the 20 yard fairway, that will give you real evidence of an improvement in your game, and it's confidence that you can then take to the course, because on the course you know that you have hit the shot on the range, the same shot on the range that you need to hit on the course. You've not just beat balls in a general direction, but you've actually aimed for specific targets. And again, I'm going in a slightly different direction here, Fred, but there's a golf hole on my course at Gullen, which is just along the road from Muirfield, the Open Championship course. And Gullen, the 10th hole is on a cliff and looks out to the sea. And in the past, you know, when I was a junior, I remember, you know, I might have been hitting the ball terribly all through the front nine. You know, big quack duck hooks and slices and all sorts of golf shots. And then I get to the 10th hole, and if I had an old golf ball in my bag, I would go to the back of the 10th tee, tee a ball up, and just mash one in a general direction out to sea, just to see how far out I could get it into the actual ocean.
I like that's a very specific target. Hit the ocean.
Exactly. And do you know that when your target is just hit the ocean, almost 99 times out of 100, I would hit a nice, solid shot with a smooth swing, and it would generally be pretty straight. And then I thought, right, brilliant. I've got this golf game sussed now. I can turn around onto this 10th hole and smash one up the middle. And all of a sudden, and I don't know, well, some of your listeners, if they've ever played Gullen, the 10th hole is pretty tight with rough that comes up to your, sometimes your waist, sometimes your chest, on each side of the fairway, and it's a pretty challenging hole. And that view on the 10th tee has a tendency to make many an average golfer, including me, tense up, because sure, all of a sudden you're not hitting out to an ocean. You don't have an ocean to hit to. You have a very small target. And when that, when you begin to see the consequences of not quite hitting the fairway, i.e. you're going to be in, you know, waist-high rough, it creates, again, what I go back to, it creates a sort of a busy mind. It creates this mental clutter. It creates consequences that you fear might happen. For example, you're going to be in this heavy rough. And that is probably, I think, the biggest problem in golf, is not having the clear, focused, uncluttered mind with an image of the shot you want to hit. The opposite of that, you know, when you're on a hole that's very tight, is to tense up because you've got the trouble on either side and you've got these consequences. So by practicing hitting shots to narrow targets on the range, you know that you can handle it when you come to those holes on the golf course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that would—I guess—that would bring us up to chapter number three, which is paralysis by analysis, subtitled "Cluttering the Mind with Mechanics and Technical Swing Analysis." Unfortunately, we don't have time to go into the next chapter, but it is a good tease for everyone to go and get this free ebook written by Ed Bradley, and it's the website is thesecrettogolfsuccess.com. And the book, straightforward enough, is The 18 Biggest Mental Errors in Golf and How to Avoid Them. And again, it's a free ebook, so just go to his website and check it out. This has really been not just very interesting, Ed, but really helpful. Thank you very much.
Not a problem. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, Fred.
And a pleasure speaking with you as well. That's Ed Bradley from Glasgow, Scotland, and his site is thesecrettogolfsuccess.com. So the contest for the Waste Management Open has been closed, and we actually drew a winner's name this morning. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to announce the winner until next show because I wanted to make sure that the name that we drew was somebody who can take advantage of this incredible prize valued at over $1,800. Now, I've written to him, I've left him a voice message. He's based in Gresham, Oregon. Are you listening? Did I just perk your ears up? Because it could be you. Check your email. But if this winner cannot use the prize, we've picked two other names as backups. So check your email. Look and make sure that it's not stuck in the spam filter or something. And make sure you see something from Fred at GolfSmarter.com. Actually, it would be Fred at GolfSmarterPodcast.com. And if you did get that message, respond right back to me. Let me know that you can do this so that we can announce it up on the website on our contest page. I'll list the winner there. And then I will definitely tell you who it is next week. So good luck to you. Hope that it was you. And if you did win, God, you're going to have a great time. Our closing quote today comes from Richard Todd of Amherst, Ohio. Richard sent me a very funny email this week, and this line cracked me up so much that I just wanted to include it in our weekly quote. Here's what he wrote. As I returned from my father-daughter Girl Scout bowling outing, I started to realize I bowl just as poorly as I play golf. My scores are the same. They're both around 100. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, or quotes, I'd love to hear from you. Please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.